for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. The world of non-league football and the world beyond, because there's lots of changes are happening and lots of clarification required across the world of non-league and the world in which we live in. Unfortunately, other commitments mean that Dave Anton can't be with me, alongside me, or in the ether, but he hopefully will be back very soon, hopefully back next week, when it looks like non-league football may be getting back to some sort of normality. Some good news is it looks like fans of most clubs will get to go to football in the coming weeks, in limited numbers, of course, and it will be across the pyramid. So that may mean that some of those enhanced non-league crowds may drop back again as clubs at higher levels are allowed to admit fans. But who knows? Maybe non-leagues entice them in, and we've got some great FA Cup games coming this weekend as well to keep them abreast of what's going on in non-league and the quality that can be seen there. The bad news is, obviously, I'm not convinced that football can properly afford to get back to where we're heading. Hopefully, we'll be talking to a number of clubs in the coming weeks about how the new tier system is affecting them. And we'll speak to Matt Badcock as well later when we assess the impact on non-league football. I think the impact is actually going to be lower down the pyramid than it has been. Previously, before the lockdown, steps 3 to 6 were obviously able to get back underway and allowed some fans in and have some revenue that way. Obviously, other revenue was limited with the hospitality restrictions, but the new tier system certainly brings in a whole host more of hospitality restrictions, which means that there's even less revenue streams for clubs, and there's a possibility that clubs that are in tier 3, which is really does affect steps 3 to 6 in the football pyramid, they could be restricted at not even being allowed to have fans in, maybe restrictions on their travelling, both within the division but also within their own club as well. And we're waiting for clarification. Hopefully we will have some, and as soon as we do, if it's before this goes to out to air, then obviously we'll put an update in. But if not, then please do keep abreast and keep an eye out on social media. Anyway, we're plenty still to discuss. We've got a big FA Cup weekend with the FA Cup second round up on us. So it is FA Cup weekend. Plenty of non-league participation. So let's get matters underway. So it is FA Cup weekend, and despite the lockdown, there's still plenty of non-league interest in the second round. There is, of course, much going on in the world too, so you may not be fully up to speed and aware of everything going on in the FA Cup. So there is only one man to turn to. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Lynette.
Hi, Tim. Hi, how are you?
Well, good, Phil. It's a weird world we live in, but one of the best things about the weird world is the FA Cup is still taking place, maybe all behind closed doors, but at least we've got some football to look forward to this weekend, and a great weekend of football too.
Well, yeah, for non-league football, it's a fantastic weekend. We might not be able to get any fans in, but the non-league clubs are still performing extremely well, and we have a record number of them, an equal record number of them into the second round this season. So 14 non-league clubs in total. It's only the third time that's happened, and the first time in 13 years. So, you know, we've got great representation of non-league clubs into the second round, and we know for certain that at least 3 of them will be also advancing to the third round, which is also great news.
Yeah, at least for and I did point out as well that there will be 4 in the draw because of the Canvey Island Boreham and Wood game taking place after the draw. So those clubs technically make it into the hat.
Yeah, they do. Yes. I often ask the question, when was the last time we were in the draw? And it's really something hard to keep on top of. But yes, it's good to know there'll be 4 non-league clubs in the draw, yeah.
It's good also to see, yeah, with the enhanced TV coverage, because there isn't the fans allowed in there, that non-league have got a fairer smattering of the coverage there as well.
Well, I think it's great that they've managed to find a way to show as many of the games as possible. I know it's not always the best way to watch it, and watching it online, but then at least you can get to see it and all sort of live, which is great. And obviously they're making a big thing of it, so that gives it more publicity as well. So all great for non-league to get that exposure.
Yeah, and I know you're a bit like me. You know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, that's when we like to watch our football. We don't like change that much, do we? But one of the games that's got that coverage for a 3 o'clock game is the Portsmouth Kingsley Town. Now, you spoke to almost any non-league manager when the first round was drawn or the second round was drawn. Portsmouth away was going to be the game, or Sunderland away in the first round when they were still in the competition. And Kingsley Town have been handed that tie.
Yeah, it's fantastic news for them. It probably is the plum tie. Under normal circumstances, it would absolutely be fantastic for the club and their fans. But it's still fantastic anyway. I mean, Kingsley Town, as a club in their current format, it's the first time they've been this far in the competition. And to pit themselves against one of the best teams in the lower levels of the Football League is a great opportunity for them to have a memorable day, whatever happens. And you never know. This season's FA Cup, the way things are going, we could see them being another one joining the field already through to the third round.
And as you say, as this season's going, of course, we're talking about the second round here. We're talking on Thursday afternoon. They're talking about the second round taking place this weekend. But of course, Thursday evening, after we've spoken, we've still got a first round proper tie to find out who's playing in the second round over the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Barrow and AFC Wimbledon are finally going to get their game on. I hope they can go ahead. And obviously, they'll be playing Crawley Town in the next round. So Crawley won't know until quite late in the day whether they've got a short trip to London or whether they've got a heck of a trip all the way up to the northwest into Barrow.
And that's an interesting thing. Obviously, they're pro clubs, so they're used to playing under this elite protocol and back and forth. And, you know, their season hasn't really changed in the way that they're covering up and down the country, as you say. But if that was a non-league club, that sort of scenario, if finding out that late on Thursday evening where you had to travel to on a Sunday, the logistical nightmare that would create or doesn't bear thinking about.
Well, under normal circumstances, it would be. But I think in this time, they've got the option of, well, they don't need a hotel to play at Wimbledon, but they would need one probably to play in Barrow. But I'm sure that they could provisionally book a hotel quite easily at this time and be certain it'll be free if they need to go. Not ideal, I know. But I think every cloud, they've got a chance there to have it all organised should they end up having to travel all that way to the northwest.
Yeah, and coming back to non-league, we mentioned there's an equal record number of club non-league clubs in this round, but of course, the majority of them have been drawn away. And how does that normally work for non-league clubs in this round? Is there more chance of a cup set, maybe, if a club's drawn at home? That appears to be the way that people would normally think, but I don't know whether the stats would back that up.
Well, I love it when you ask me questions that I don't have answers to.
What is the capital of Albania?
Logic would suggest in normal times when the fans were there that they would do better at home. But often, you know, in recent times, I know clubs have, had one eye on a replay at a bigger ground. So it's a tough one. I haven't really done the analysis, to be fair, to know whether home advantage makes that much difference. So in these times with no fans, I don't think it matters whether you're at home or away, to be fair. It's a level playing field for both sides.
Yeah, to be fair, Phil, I don't think anybody else would have done the research either. So, don't feel too bad.
I could have said anything.
Don't feel too bad on that one. I mean, one of the other things, I've read your round tie-by-tie guide, and I'd urge anybody to go and have a look at that. But one of the things that stood out for me was Darlington travelling to Bristol Rovers. Would they fancy their chances with that game down there?
Well, I don't see why not. I was at their first round game in Swindon, and I would see this as an equivalent type of trip for them. So they performed very well, and they matched Swindon toe to toe in the first round. So, you know, they'll use that as a platform and a springboard to try to ensure they do the same again. It's just, you know, it's good that they've had the familiarity of the trip experience all the way down to the Bristol area once already this season. So you know, that having had that experience, hopefully they can use that to cause another upset. It'd be fantastic if they could.
And obviously, over lockdown, it's more and more difficult to be able to take in these games in person. What ties have you earmarked to grab your eyeballs over the weekend then, Phil?
Well, of course, we can't ignore the two Level 8 clubs in round two, both of them at home to fellow non-league sides, at high-level National League sides. We had the same scenario last year where we had two Level 8 clubs at this stage for the first time ever. So this to happen 2 years running is quite exciting for those teams, because, you know, that only in the past, only Chase Town has managed to make it through to the third round as a Level 8 club. So we've got two teams with home advantage, and, you know, no disrespect for the opponents, but, you know, they've got more chance, I'd say, against fellow non-league sides than they would have done if they'd drawn a EFL club. So we might see history in the making for both Marine and for Canvey Island this weekend.
Yeah, and both of those are getting the TV coverage as well, which is great for non-league to be able to be viewed by a wider audience, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's what I said earlier. The fact is that, you know, it's a great opportunity to showcase what non-league is about, to raise the profile of the game. And we've already seen more fans on average coming to lower level clubs, not, you know, below the National League, as a consequence of lockdown. So, you know, all this is great news that while we can get the profile raised, it's good that the TV stations are taking advantage of that. And hopefully the clubs can show to the neutrals what a great level of football we have at the non-league level.
Yeah, one of the other all non-league tie from the National League, Stockport against Yeovil, who are both clubs that have had decent FA Cup runs in the past, a very good pedigrees in the FA Cup. So round two is fairly an early round for them.
Well, in their history, yeah, they've both been as far as the fifth round in the past. Obviously, both former league clubs. Yeovil actually had a better FA Cup run when they were non-league side. It's the third time they've actually met in the competition. This will be the third time. Stockport have the upper hand in what I've labelled as the accessories derby, as it is the Hatters of Stockport versus the Glovers of Yeovil Town. Depending on the weather, I suppose, will depend on which one of those two are more prevalent on the day. But Stockport definitely have the upper hand against Yeovil in past performances, and with home advantage, you probably see them going through.
See, that's the sort of stat that we know and love you for, Phil. Anything else that we should be looking out for or be made aware of ahead of this weekend's second round?
I think there's two or three things I'd look for. Is Chorley, who are at this level for the first time in 30 years, I think, and, you know, they're one of a handful of teams in who've never gone further than the second round. So, you know, they've got a great chance against Peterborough, although Peterborough do have a fantastic recent record of always getting through to the third round of the FA Cup. But again, you know, you never know what's going to happen these times. You've got Solihull Moors. I think they're the only non-league team to make it this far into the second round in each of the last three seasons. So they'll be hoping to finally make the final step up to the third round. They take on Morecambe. Interestingly, Morecambe were the last club to knock out Moore Green in the season before they merged with Solihull Borough to become Solihull Moors. So there's a little bit of revenge could be going on there. And I think finally I'd like to point out on Oxford City, who are into the second round for only the third time in their history, in their long FA Cup history, but the second time in 4 years. Bizarrely, they're the only two times that Oxford United haven't made it as far as the second round in recent times. So it's quite bizarre that you can't see them both in the second round. It's either one or the other. But all of those clubs, along with Bournemouth and Brackley Town, you kick it all off on Friday night, are all looking to try and make the third round for the first time ever.
Well, Phil, as ever, that was fantastic. That was above and beyond. These are the sort of things that will stick with you for life. You know, one day they may come in handy in a quiz. Phil, just remind everybody where they can read your full tie-by-tie breakdown.
Yeah, so I have a blog called FA Cup Fat File at WordPress.com. Normally accessed through my Twitter account at FA Cup Fat File, and you can find analysis and stats of all 20 of the ties in the second round.
Brilliant stuff, as ever, Phil. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the second round this weekend.
Thank you. Cheers, Tim. Speak to you soon.
So a few weeks ago, before the first round of the FA Cup, we spoke with Canvey Island manager Mark Bentley on being one of the handful of non-elite clubs able to train amid lockdown. And they, of course, progressed and have continued in that weird world of being the only club in their league able to be able to even train in recent weeks. As is our next guest. Now, the no Northern Premier League action for Marine this weekend. It's the FA Cup second round, but non-league position. And to tell us how preparations are going, let's welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Neil Young, manager at Marine.
Hello, Timmy. You okay, mate?
I'm good. I imagine you're chasing your tail, I think I call it.
We are slightly, yeah. Obviously, a lot of media exposure now with obviously beating Colchester and getting to the second round. Big game this weekend. And as you said there on your intro, that obviously with training and trying to arrange friendlies, etc., it's been quite hectic, mate.
And a Sunday match live on TV against Havant and Waterlooville, that probably says more about 2020 than anything else.
I think it does. And I think if you ask our chairman, 2020 has been a very, very strange year for us as a football club. But yeah, you know, BT are there. And as I say, we've had lots of media exposure and various people come in the club and the ground and Sky and BBC and ITV. And so, yeah, it's been a very busy period, but, you know, it's all good stuff for the football club. And it means us as a football club and a football team, it means you're doing well.
And how's it been sort of bonding with the lads, being that only the only club that can even train? You've been playing clubs at a higher level just to keep their eye in and keep that match fitness up?
Yeah, we've managed to play two friendlies, and we're very grateful for Salford for sending their under-23s and Liam Watson, who's a friend of mine, Southport manager, he brought a team to us on Tuesday evening. So we were able to get two games in, although it's not competitive. It's football, you know, because it's probably nearly a month away since we last played competitively. So yeah, training is as it would normally be. We're part-time, so it's Tuesday, Thursday. We'll throw an extra day in this week, Saturday, because obviously the game's on Sunday. But ordinarily, you know, we're probably better than most football clubs at our level, because we are allowed to train. The lads are allowed to get together. Although we've kept, you know, keeping together is sometimes not that good in COVID circumstances. But we've managed to separate enough to make sure that, you know, we try our best to mitigate against any possible exposure to COVID.
Yeah, and how's that been? Because obviously, you've been given that extra dispensation as a non-elite club, but it does mean extra regimes and extra precautions you're having to take. Has there been any additional support from the FA at this round as well?
Not that I'm aware of from a club perspective. I mean, we've been quite good at it, to be honest. I'm sure many non-league clubs have, but I think, you know, what we've tried to do in terms of asking lads to come in on their own, we don't get dressed in the changing room. We get changed in a very big area. In the club rooms, because obviously, you know, from a football perspective, up until the second round, that if you were to get a COVID outbreak in your team, you had to forfeit the tie. So that would have been, you know, a major stumbling block for us. So we've been now, since we got on a little bit of a run, looking, you know, to keep COVID away if somebody was to get it from an external environment, making sure that we could fulfil all the criteria not to pass it on. So we've done as much as we possibly can, and like every club, there's protocols all around the football club in terms of your hands and sanitising and masks and keeping your distance. And we put our own little processes in as well internally, just to basically try and keep it away if we can.
Yeah, and I guess for you, you're grateful that you're allowed to train. You've got this big game coming up the weekend, but not having games, it probably came at the wrong time of season for you as well. Was it 9 on the bounce at the moment?
Yeah, 9 wins on the bounce. We've hit a little bit of form. I think it's 13 wins out of 15. We had a bit of a slow start, if I'm honest. You know, we were still picking up in terms of recruitment with a few injuries pre-season and lads getting fit after, you know, an indifferent pre-season in terms of for everyone. Everyone's in the same boat there. But yeah, we've picked up. We've done really well. You know, we're a very young group, apart from 3 or 4 of our lads who had that little bit of experience. But form-wise, you know, it's been good. But the thing that I've been really impressed with for a young group of lads is, you know, the way they've just dealt with the pressure, the work rate that they get through. It's been phenomenal. And, you know, the tactical awareness to take things on board against, you know, Chester, and then Chester, Colchester is, you know, was excellent to take that information on board and put it into play. And you know, luckily for us on both occasions, we managed to win the game and get through.
Yeah, you have had a great cup run. Obviously, almost a bittersweet, I guess, beating Chester to get to that first round and then Colchester. You must have been hoping that there was another club with Chester in their name for this second round.
Yeah, well, obviously Chester being my former club, you know, it was nice to go back there. Not so nice in terms of there was no fans there. You know, had a great rapport with the fans that were there. So, yeah, as you say, you know, Chester called Chester. I don't know, Chesterfield, I don't know. But, yeah, we just keep going, mate. We got a real tough game, different type of game on Sunday against a very good side. You know, so we're under no illusions, the enormity of the task. But we'll prepare, as we have done, for all the competition, you know, all parts of the competition so far. And hopefully, you know, that'll be enough. But we're under no illusion how tough the game's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know if my maths is correct, but I think it's about 43 places when you look at the pyramid, the difference between the two of you. But as you say, you've already seen off higher status clubs before this game. And Paul Doswell, the manager at Haven at Waterlooville, has been certainly been bigging you guys up and saying that your league position sort of belies the quality within your squad. How have you been able to prepare to find out about the opposition in the current circumstances?
Well, obviously, you know, as we do with all our games, we do a lot of due diligence behind the scenes. We have all teams watch where we can. If not, we get as much footage as we can. We've been streaming games, or I've been streaming games. So, you know, we've seen enough of Havant in terms of how they set up and what they do. But that's a very small part of preparation. You know, we can give the information to the boys. They've got to carry it out. As I said earlier, we're under no illusions how good a side they are. They've got some very good players. You know, the physical, but technically very good as well. Paul, as you mentioned earlier, done absolute wonders at Sutton. You know, he had a good cup run as well. And Arsenal at one stage. Mm. So, as I say, you know, we'll prepare the best we can, like we always do for every game. I'm sure the lads will give everything they can, and it's who maybe gets that little bit of luck on the day, or who's the better side on the day.
Yeah, and they're almost in a similar position to you, really, because they've had a couple of COVID-19 issues where games have been off. So I think Godfrey Poku, who got sent off in the last round, it still hasn't served his ban. So there's one player down. I think Danny Kebwell, who is well known to in non-league circles, he's cup-tied from playing earlier. So
yeah.
It's going to be... you're going to just have to set your stall out and play your game rather than looking at the opposition, aren't you, for this one?
Yeah, we are, and we're at home, you know, which is a bit different. The last two games have been away from home. But it's going to be a proper non-league game, isn't it? Proper cup tie, I think. You know, two teams, as I said, they've got some, you know, they're good on set pieces, physically good, got some great footballers. You know, Clifford, great on the football, Magri at the back. You know, they've got some, you know, real good players. You know, as I say, we're under no illusions. But I'm sure, as you said earlier, Paul's done his own work on us as well, and we've got some good players, either our own or on loan. So, you know, it'll all put together, hopefully, for a very interesting cup tie.
Yeah, as you touched upon the blend of youth and experience. You had David Raven at the back and Motore up front for you. Mo played for the Welsh under-21s just a few weeks back, so it shows the quality you've got in your side.
Yeah, Mo scored for the under-21s, which is great for him. Obviously, he's on loan to us from Salford again. Him and a lad called Alex Doyle, who's got first team experience, you know. So I think you're right before. I think our league positions a bit like haven't really, probably because we're all playing catch up on games. It is lower than what we probably should be and probably will be once we get back playing. Hopefully, we have got some good players. We've got Niall Cummins up front, who was our league's player of the year last year. Scored over 20 goals. He scored goals at all levels. You know, Conference North, it cares, and he was, you know, a legend there. You know, we've got some good players. And as you say, David Raven at the back, mixed with a lot of good young players who've been released from league clubs or from higher non-league clubs. So that's been the profile of our recruitment with the budget that we've had. And I've been so impressed with the way the lads have taken things on board.
Mm. And you've had a great season already. And you say, obviously, you haven't had a chance really to get going in the league. But at the start of the season, what were the ambitions for the club or for you? Did you have your targets set as to what you wanted to achieve?
Yes. Yeah, our targets are the same. You know, our targets is, can we get promotion? Either, you know, as the number one team or via the playoffs to be challenging. I think we have to be. And like every club, I think, in non-league, it's to try and get as far as you can in the cup competitions. We're obviously in the second round of the FA Cup. We're also in the first round of the FA Trophy. So, you know, we've gone further than we expected, probably in both competitions. But now we're there, you know, you want to get to the next round and see what that potentially brings, you know. So it's all exciting stuff. It's like we're having no league games, really. It's like playing some sort of mini tournaments because it's just cup game after cup game. I mean, even after this game on against Havant, our first game is going to be the FA Trophy game. So
yeah, and that's against higher opposition as well, isn't it? So it's all your big tournament games, I guess, coming forward. It's like you're some sort of a kid back at school planning out the best games to play at the moment.
It is. I mean, in the last, I think that's four teams we've beat. Higher opposition, we've beat Nantwich, who are a very good side. We've beat Chester, as we said, Colchester, and we've also beat Stalybridge Celtic in the last round of the trophy. So, yeah, so it's all good things at the moment, but we know how quick football can change. It's about staying positive with it, dealing with what's in front of you, dealing with what comes next, preparing the lads best we can. And I'm sure, like they have done week in, week out, they'll give it their best shot.
And yeah, a big game then in front of the TV cameras on Sunday. It's the, you know, the game that it slots into everybody's Sunday afternoon during lockdown. They can watch it. You know, it's a game that people might be their first one that they've seen of non-league this season. You're a man that's got plenty of experience as a manager in the past. You know, from Real, Colwyn Bay. You know, even your time at Chester, I'm trying to think, Stockport, Altrincham, where else have we spoken to you? You're still a young manager, Neil.
I've done a head of recruitment job at Halifax, didn't I? And I had 3 games there while they were looking for a new manager. But yeah, you know, bags of experience, and I'm a much different person now than what I was when I started probably, 20 years ago, and I'm much different than what I was 10 years ago. But you live and learn, don't you? It's all about experience.
What would making the third round then mean to you, despite all of that in the background? Would that be your biggest achievement?
Possibly. I mean, winning 3 championships on the bounce with Chester, you know, that'll take some
fairly impressive.
You know, going from nothing to what we did and getting into the National League in 3 years. But as you say, to get to the third round and then, you know, the potential of the other, what could come, you know, I suppose in terms of, is it your biggest game? I suppose if it's, first of all, you've got to win the game is the key bit. And the second bit, I think, in terms of making your biggest game is what the potential opponent is on the other side. Mm. You know, if you were to draw a potential Premier League club or even top championship club, then you'd probably say, you know, it is one of your biggest achievements. But as I say, that's all in dreamland at the moment. It's Sunday afternoon, 2:45, and we've got to make sure we're the better team on the day.
Sunday afternoon seems a long way away, probably. You've got more interviews to do. You've got a training session, a couple of training sessions to take, and juggling with the real world of work as well alongside that.
It is, yeah. We're busy at the moment, as you can expect. So it's busy, but yeah, we've got lots of interviews. We've done lots of media this week and last week. I'm at the Tramby game tomorrow doing a bit for the BBC half time. And then obviously we've got Saturday morning, the press conference for the FA Cup. Then we're in obviously training, and then it's all about Sunday. So hopefully we get the next day or so out the way in terms of media commitments. And then, you know, let's not moan about it, because if we weren't doing well, no one would want to speak to us. So it's all good stuff. You know, we look forward to it. We embrace it, and we look forward to the game on Sunday.
It's nice to be popular, but you've certainly earned it over the years, Neil, and you've certainly earned it this season. Best of luck at the weekend, and great to have you back
Many
on the Non-League Football Show. Thank you, mate.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So let's round off the show as ever with the world of non-league. It's back over to non-league paper towers, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to editor at large, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back again, Matt.
Thanks for having me on again, Tim.
Well, yeah, once we've let you in the door, it's difficult. I think you must have taken a key with you, because you seem to be back with us again. So
can't get rid of me.
It's good to have a familiar face, but I can't see you from here. So a familiar voice in times of strife, and at the start of the week, I think everybody's getting really excited that football was likely to be back, and everything was going to be perfect, and we're all going to enjoy the football season as we'd all once hoped. And we're speaking now on Thursday, late Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening. We've just had the news of all the tears, and I'm not entirely sure that it's good news or bad news. It's a bit of both, really. And we still, again, once again, maybe this should be our sub headline every week: is we're seeking clarification.
Yeah, that's it. Clarification needed is basically the only way to kind of sum up this whole situation. You say, I think last week we were kind of when you and me were chatting, kind of thinking. Feel like it's not likely at all, and then it's all changed around, as you said, didn't it? And you're thinking, oh great, you can kind of get back on, but it was kind of waiting for all these tears to come out today, and that tear announced, which kind of almost felt a bit like a sort of FA Cup draw or something, didn't it? You know, what you're going to get, where you're going to be, and now the sort of the big question marks are kind of. Obviously, there's elite football, which is, we're now getting used to this term, which is including National League and National League North and South. And if you're in Tier 1, or which nobody is, Truro are, aren't they, they're in the Southern League. But, you know, generally everyone's kind of in Tier 2, apart from quite a select few clubs in across the sort of four divisions who are going to be in Tier 3, which means they're not allowed fans back in at all, and they'll carry on playing behind closed doors. Some Tier 2 clubs... We'll be allowed to have fans back in, but there's kind of this sort of slightly murkier picture underneath in what we're now calling non-elite football, and what it all means for the sort of the cross travelling between the tiers, which is going to be one of the is sort of the big kind of question mark. What does that mean? Tier 3? Does that mean a club can carry on playing? Does it not? Players could be playing for Tier 2 clubs, but they might live in Tier 3 areas, and all these kind of question marks. And then the good news that some clubs will be allowed to have people back in, sort of tempered by the fact that a lot of clubhouses are going to be shut, which is going to really, really cause a lot of issues. And it's kind of worse than it was before. And at least clubs had limited capacities, but still able to keep their bars open in some form, most of them anyway.
Yeah, and I think I have to agree with you. It's possibly for the majority of clubs, it's going to be worse than it was before. And we've been chatting to Step 3, Step 4, Step 5 managers throughout the season, and people from Step 6 and 7 as well. And they've known that they've been the lucky ones to be able to be playing some football in front of fans for the season that we've had so far. But now... it looks like they're going to. It's almost as if they've had the toys taken away from them, and they've been handed to someone else. Because it's going to be very complicated as a club at step 3, 4, or 5 and below to be able to play a season out. Really, I think that's the big thing in front of me is that how are we going to be able to play fixtures to a fixture list up and down the country through across the leagues when we know that we've got so many games already looking at Tuesday, Saturday to the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the big concerns that we sort of spoke to the Step 3 chairman a while ago, but before the season actually kind of started, and they were kind of Mark Harris, Nick Robinson, spoke to suddenly Vice Chairman Anthony Hughes, and they're kind of sort of trying to making the point about how, you know, there's not going to be a one size kind of fits all across all this situation, because you've got these different areas. Some areas are under different restrictions, and there isn't like that level across the whole pyramid. What if the Isthmian League or the Southern League can completely play themselves out, but the Northern Premier League can't? It's just kind of, you know, it raises all these difficult questions, and it's just that's why everyone's just been kind of focused on just trying to get as many games as they could. Then we've kind of had this break, and some areas seem to have gone from a certain tier, and they seem to have been sort of gone into a lockdown and come out of lockdown, and they're sort of been bumped up an area, a tier. So it's kind of just all, as we say, clarification needed. There's sort of lots of meetings going on now as we speak, and it's just trying to get that full kind of picture of exactly what it means. Kind of all these scenarios, but it feels it's as we've always been saying, as we know, it's turning into this sort of season that is a massive, massive challenge, and it's just devastating for so many clubs and people that have been putting in all this hard work in, and we kind of sort of feel like we're up in the air now. Hopefully more, some good news can maybe come through, and it can kind of get going again. But until that all gets confirmed, we're kind of all on tenterhooks, really.
Yeah, and it's all rumour and guesswork and things like that. And there's much debate on social media as ever, and you can see how people are interpreting rules in different ways, and it just, that's why it needs some clarification. But as you mentioned, you know, the clubs that are in tier three, I mean, technically, in regards to travelling, people in tier three are advised to avoid travelling out of the area other than where necessary, such as work, education, youth services or medical attention. And we've already had this debate over non-elite and elite and what the division was. And I think work was the thing that separated the step three clubs from the step two clubs, which then means that a step three club falls out of that necessity of travelling for work. And we could find ourselves that not only fans aren't allowed in the ground at tier three, or fans aren't allowed to travel from or to tier three, but also maybe the players, as you mentioned, the players might be coming from a different tier, and then that then affects the whole integrity, I guess, of the competition. If you are only allowed certain players from your squad, depending on what postcode they live by.
Yeah, and it's where we can you argue that it is work for a semi-professional footballer? I mean, if you had like a sort of, if I this after, you know, this evening I go to my I have a part-time job in a you know, a sorting office or something like that, you know, that's in a tier three area, and on the side of my main job, does that mean I can still go and work? Because, you know, that's still their income, isn't it? So that's one area that I wonder about. I mean, I don't know the answer. I'm just sort of throwing it sort of out there. You could argue that's work because it's income, isn't it? I just don't know kind of all the ins and outs around it. I guess it's sort of, maybe you have to be on contracts and things like that, I guess. I don't know. But that's going to be the issue. And that's, again, this has been one of the kind of the points that I remember speaking to Mark Harris about quite a few weeks ago. And there were different areas of the Northern Premier League divisions kind of going into different under different restrictions, and they were able to kind of keep going on, and that's kind of what you hope will be able to happen now, that they can keep playing even though there were no away fans and all that kind of thing. Maybe can they somehow be allowed to keep going on with limited capacities? But one of their issues was that, you know, some areas wouldn't be able to if some areas can't carry on and some areas can carry on. That doesn't help the team, the teams in areas that can carry on, because they've effectively got no one to play, and then you haven't got a league system, have you? You haven't got a league program, a fixtures program, and it kind of just brings everything grinding to a halt. I mean, we've seen cases much further down the pyramid, where you're kind of getting much more into the grassroots, where there's clubs that, you know, they might be based in a certain area and they couldn't travel out of that area to play, and they have to stop. And this is where, because of the non-league system, the football system in this country is so sort of, so many intricacies, and it's so complex that there are no sort of quick, easy kind of solutions to everything. You know, you can't just sort of throw out a blanket rule and that cover everything. That's always going to be one of the problems here, is the people in government, they just don't have that sort of understanding of this kind of complex sort of network of football clubs that we've got in this country that are, you know, in every sort of the heartbeat of every community, no matter how big or small. And as we've said before, there's often more than one club in a town, and, you know, we've got such a unique structure in this country that it just doesn't kind of have there isn't an overarching decision that can sort of satisfy everybody, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be. Well, we say week in, week out, we wouldn't want to be in the shoes of those people having to make these decisions, but there's going to be some clubs that are going to be upset, and it's going to cause you know, further problems beyond just football as well, because, as you say, these are the jobs of certain people that are involved, whether they're players or whether they're groundsmen. It's implications, you know, bar people, the lifeblood of many a step five, step six, step, well, even step four, step three clubs are the community bars that are running, and it looks like, you know, that's almost put put up on a shelf at the moment, because as much as I've enjoyed a decent cheese and onion bap or a portion of chips at various grounds up and down the country, I'm not sure I've ever had a substantial meal when I've been in a football clubhouse.
Yeah, and that's going to be the big issue for the as we said in tier two, that vital revenue that is often more than what comes through the gate is going to be kind of cut off. And clubs were already battling with that, weren't they, before it sort of set through and below. They were kind of already having those issues, and sort of clubs sort of near where I'm in kind of Suffolk, and their sort of local authorities are kind of, because the local authorities were coming along, they're sort of superseding everything that the FA and everyone says anyway. So kind of, you know, in their hands, that's been one of the other kind of big issues. And it was kind of, you know, can food only be table service and things like that, and that just doesn't work. And there is this money that's coming down from the government again. It's kind of not just grants, though, some of it's loans, and it's just there's just so many question marks. You just feel for everybody who's kind of in limbo and waiting, and as you say, I feel for the people having to make these decisions or not make decisions or waiting on kind of to be told what they can and can't do, because it's not easy for them either. And just everyone involved in football just wants to see football being played and carrying on, and it's just, you know, everything's just been thrown out the window in 2020, and it looks like it's gonna continue.
Yeah, well, hopefully by the time you've gone to press on Saturday evening, there may be a bit more of a clarification on that front. But obviously, you're going to be reporting on lots of FA Cup action this weekend. Lots of, previews, because we've got lots of games on the Sunday and Monday. But a big FA Cup weekend with the second round.
Yeah, it kind of feels strange, doesn't it? We're kind of all this kind of question marks about what these announcements and these tiers mean and kind of what the effects are going to be. But kind of in the background, there's these big FA Cup second round games, and the FA Cup isn't quite what it normally is this season without the fans, and I'm sure the games have been played behind closed doors in the last round and in this round. But there are clubs who've got this great opportunity to get through to the third round and kind of get those big dream draw. So we've got kicks off tomorrow night, Tranmere Rovers against Brackley, and then we've got three other games on Saturday, and then lots of previews for the Sunday, previews for every game on the Sunday, and the FA Cup weekend sort of culminates with Canvey Island and Bournemouth on Monday night. So we know we're guaranteed some non-league representation in the third round, with Marina playing Havant at Stockport Yeovil. So there's going to be some clubs in there, which is fantastic. It's been an equaling record 14 clubs at this stage. So some sort of good news in everything that's kind of swirling around at the moment. And while we wait for this clarification, and it'll be hopefully another action-packed weekend of cup upsets, because that's been huge for the non-league game and the finances. Obviously, we know they're less this year because of the prize money having to be cut, but it's still big for clubs. And hopefully, we'll have plenty more than the sort of the guaranteed non-league clubs in the third round as well.
Yeah, so FA Cup action. We've also got a fairly comprehensive National League programme as well, and it's still. You've got Torquay up the top there, and then Sutton. It's still not necessarily the clubs that we expected to be setting the pace at the top of the National League.
I mean, Torquay, yeah, Gary Johnson's got his team going again. They've got a team going again right up there. You sort of shouldn't expect anything less, really. Flying spoke to Adam Virgo last week, and he said how impressed he was with them when he saw them recently. It's kind of difficult at the moment, the table, where some clubs have played less games and we've had sort of COVID call-offs, and you can't really quite work out who's what and who's where. So it's going to be a sort of a fascinating season. As we say, hopefully some good news coming there is good news coming for some of those clubs who are going to be placed in tier two, that are going to get some fans back in the grounds as at least something, and that'd be great for the fans to be able to actually go and see their clubs again, because they've missed it. I think we've sort of been, as journalists, we've kind of been lucky to sort of get into the games, and we've been to playoff games and stuff like that. We shouldn't take that for granted, because there's a lot of people out there who haven't been able to watch their team at all since back in March.
Yeah, it's a weird, as you say, a balance of excitement and well, trepidation almost as well. We're in the build up to Christmas, which is normally such an exciting time, and we're normally talking about maybe the managerial merry-go-round getting busy. But without clubs playing games, that's all been fairly quiet. But a paper coming out on Sunday. It'll be packed full with interesting stuff to read. Anything else that we can expect to look out for this weekend, Matt?
Yeah, we've obviously where we've got step 3 and 4 games. We've made sure we've kind of touched on with some of those clubs as well. So we've spoken to Hastings United, we've spoken to Truro, we've got Tony Incenzo, and Nominic Doyen's kind of column in there, kind of talking about 3G pitches and what his kind of view on that. He had a column a couple of weeks ago about programmes, which sort of was really, really captured the imagination of a lot of people. So that'll be in there as well. And then we've spoken to Matt Kretschmar at Woking, and he's kind of involved in the Woking Academy, and they've got a big FA Youth Cup game coming up. So plenty of stuff going on in there. Yes, also that small amount of those FA Cup second round games as well. So hopefully a good weekend, and we'll try and hopefully have a bit more clarification about what all these tiers mean and try and map that out for everybody as well, so we kind of can't see the direction forward, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain for tiers headlines now already. Maybe I'll have to pick
a few. Well, we've got one, but I can't reveal it yet because I don't want too many people to... It's not particularly original, but I don't want too many people to use it first, but there is a tier headline in the can. We've got the finest pun master in the business in John Couch. So although it wasn't actually him, it was David Richardson who came up with this one. So we have to sort of share the credit around. But
the young apprentice learning off the old master.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I mean, it's, as you say, kind of this sort of weird feeling at the moment. Pleased for some clubs, and then obviously feeling for others, because it's is a worrying time, even if the football does carry on with kind of all the finances and issues. And as we said before, so many clubs have done so well, and it's been a real credit to the whole game and the people who've been running and the volunteers that have been putting all this effort in to kind of get these games on before lockdown too, and now it's kind of back in limbo. So hopefully there'll be some good news coming out in the next sort of day or so, everyone can at least sort of see a way forward.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show, Matt, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you to my guests for joining me, and thank you to everybody for listening, wherever you may be, listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's there at DaveAnderson78, and myself there at Tim Fuel. You can, of course, find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, all good podcast aggregation sites. And you can also find the Non-League Gaffer tapes there too, in the archive, which hopefully will be back very, very soon. Stay alert, stay aware of the tier that you're in. Stay up to date as well with the latest in Non-League via the social media, and also the Non-League paper out on Sunday. Stay safe, thank you, and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.